Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints. Good afternoon, my dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. Yes, what a friend we have in Jesus. A friend that could never be replaced. A friend that remains forever. A Savior that redeems. A Savior that empowers. A Savior that leads and guides and feeds and protects. Yes, we have a friend in Jesus. We have a Redeemer in Jesus. We have a High Priest in Jesus. We have a Savior in Jesus. We have a Great Shepherd in Jesus. In other words, we have it all. We have it all. And don't allow yourself to be hoodwinked by the con artists on so-called Christian television and radio, who will tell you that if you have a need, sow a seed. That will tell you and encourage you to sow a seed if you want your daughter to come off of drugs, or if you want a promotion, or if you're looking to buy a house. Saints, you don't have to sow anything. All you have to do, as the hymn writer wrote, take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to him in prayer. And don't listen to these con men, these con women, these shysters, these vipers, these godless men and women whom Peter said would come to make merchandise, to fleece you and me. Whatever you need, your Heavenly Father has it. And Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock on the door and it shall be opened unto you. For whosoever asketh, receiveth, and whosoever seeketh, findeth, and whosoever shall knock, it shall be opened to them. Are you a whosoever? Or are you one of the silly ones? And I'll put it that way. Are you one of the silly ones getting on the $1,000 line to sow to get your miracle? I pray not. I pray not. Well, I want to welcome all of our listeners from the United States, Canada, Norway, Germany, England, and from other parts of the world. Welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. And today, this is going to be a program in which I will be laboring much in, for I am not that well in health, but I have to do the broadcast. We have to talk about the things that need talking about. So you pray my strength as we go along. We're talking about this new book, the new book, Nehushtan Church Bishops. Nehushtan Church Bishops. It is the second book in the Roman Catholic Invasion series. It's the second book in this outstanding series that has been penned by author Moses Henry Jones. Now, let me give you my take on the difference between jackass church bishops and Nehushtan church bishops. The difference between both books. Well, I would call jackass church bishops the book that reveals that what the Roman Catholic Church is doing to the black church in America is the same thing that the Greeks did to the Trojans. Remember, it was the Greeks who tried to get behind the Trojan wall, but the Trojans had impenetrable walls. They had thick walls. They had many watchmen and many soldiers protecting those walls. So the Greeks, by using muscle and military force, they could not penetrate the Trojan walls, the walls of Troy. So the Greeks came up with an idea. Let's give them a gift. And the gift was the Trojan horse. And so the Greeks brought the Trojan horse. They brought it right to the entrance of the city of Troy. They left it there. They walked away. And then after the Greeks were gone, the Trojans, the people of Troy, the Trojans, opened up their doors and they marveled and they said, what is this? What is this? Well, it must be a peace offering. It must be a gift from the Greeks to us. They want to make their peace with us. So, all right, well, shall we accept the gift? Shall we reject it? What shall we do? Well, they took a vote and they accepted the gift and they brought the Trojan horse into the city, into the city. What the leaders of Troy and what the citizenry of Troy did not understand, could not perceive, was that inside of the belly of the wooden horse, there were Greeks hiding. They had snuck away inside of the belly of the horse, waiting for nightfall. And when nightfall would come, they would sneak out when all of the Trojans would be asleep. They would sneak out, open the doors to the city of Troy, and let their fellow Greeks in so that their fellow Greeks might conquer Troy. So basically, my brothers and sisters, the book Jackass Church Bishops explains how the devil, not by using the Greeks, but by using the Roman Catholic Church, he has penetrated the once impregnable walls of the black church in America. Because the Roman Catholic Church and the black church in America, the Protestant black church in America, were enemies. Our spiritual forefathers wanted nothing to do with the Roman Catholic Church. So how did the Roman Catholic Church get into the black church in America? Well, they gave them a gift. They gave them a gift. What was the gift? What was the Trojan horse? Well, the Trojan horse is a thing called episcopacy. Episcopacy. It's a fancy word for the office of the bishop. Now, black folk have had the office of a bishop since time immemorial. Since I can remember, any black church I went to, we had the bishop. But the bishop looked like every other male parishioner, had a suit and a tie on. He was the bishop. He was the pastor. He was the chief elder of the church. But really, there wasn't any pomp or pageantry with the office of the bishop. There was no major celebration, the office of the bishop. And the Roman Catholic Church says, you know, guys, you black pastors, you're not really doing yourself justice. Because if you're a bishop, you ought to look like us. You see the fine clothes that we wear and the jewelry that we wear. And so the black church was conned. It was conned by the Roman Catholic Church in accepting a gift called episcopacy. And with that episcopacy came the fairy tale of apostolic succession. You see, because Rome told black pastors, you know, your ministry is really illegitimate. Your ministry is really illegitimate because you cannot trace your ministry back to Peter. But our ministry, the Roman Catholic ministry, can go all the way back to Peter. So if you want to be legitimate, like we're legitimate, because right now you're illegitimate, let us, Roman Catholics, lay hands on you and ordain you into episcopacy, and then you'll be legit. See, that's the Trojan horse. And once black bishops allowed the Roman Catholic Church to condemn, it was all over. So that's Jackass Church Bishops. If you didn't get the book, if you didn't order the book, if you didn't read the book, you're really shortchanging yourself. You really are. It's a magnificent, magnificent book, which I will tell you, in my mind, it's already a classic. It's a classic. It's a classic. So Jackass Bishops basically lays out the argument that the Roman Catholic Church got into the black church by using the same modus operandi that the Greeks did to get into Troy, which was the Trojan horse. And the great Trojan horse that the Roman Catholic Church has used today to get over on black ministers and con them and deceive them and give them a makeover is what we call episcopacy. So that's why ladies and gentlemen. That's why your pastor, your bishop, looks like a Roman Catholic minister. He's got the ring. He's got the pectoral cross. He's got the crozier. He's got, I mean, he's got the whole outfit. He even has Roman Catholic underwear. I mean, everything is Roman Catholic. And if they do their nails, if they do their toenails, because, you know, Roman Catholic wear is effeminate wear, and Jesus spoke of effeminate wear. That's right, Jesus, your Lord, my Lord, our Savior, spoke about effeminate wear. Yes, he did. He talked about people who had effeminate wear, and the Roman Catholic garments are simply effeminate wear. That's what it is. Anybody dressed up in that monkey outfit is not going to do a day's work. They're not going to do a day's work. When you look at your bishop and all the jewelry he's got on and the cross and how the cross is tucked in his pocket, these people don't do a day's work. They don't do a day's work. Because that's what the outfit promotes, that you are a superior. The only kind of work you do is with your mind. You don't do any physical work. You don't labor. Well, a far cry from the apostles of Christ. Well, again, jackass church bishops is that book which makes the argument that Rome got into the black church, got into the institutional black church, that got into the African-American church by using a Trojan horse. That Trojan horse is episcopacy, and the author, Moses Henry Jones, makes the argument. It's a marvelous argument, and he proves it. Proves it. People who have read that book can't put it down. Keep going back to it. Because the book, Jackass Church Bishops, presents Satan's five-step plan to destroy the African-American church from within. It's a five-step plan. Five-step plan. The first is infiltration. Satan, by using the Roman Catholic Church, wants to infiltrate the black church. Infiltration is number one, if you're taking notes. Number two, after Satan infiltrates, he paganizes. He paganizes. He takes your church and turns it into a pagan church. The liturgy is pagan. The worship is pagan. The song singing is pagan. Everything. Communion now has become pagan-oriented. The baby dedications now have become pagan. Everything. Once Satan infiltrates, he looks to give the church a makeover. He looks to give the church a makeover, and that makeover is a pagan makeover. Pagan. That's why if you witnessed Eddie Long's Celebration of Life service, you saw how his casket was tilted on a 45-degree angle. He was dressed. Who? What funeral parlor have you gone to? What wake have you recently attended in all of your lifetime? And for many blacks, for many, many, many blacks, for many African Americans, that was the first time they ever went to a wake with somebody's casket tilted on a 45-degree angle. Well, where do you think Eddie Long and his buddies got that from? The Roman Catholic Church. Why? Because Eddie Long is a Roman Catholic, or was a Roman Catholic stooge and agent. So once Satan infiltrates by using the Roman Catholic Church, then he will paganize your church. He will give your church a makeover. You won't even recognize it. Won't recognize it. So paganizing is the fruit of, or the byproduct of, your church being saturated with the doctrines of men. The doctrines of men. The traditions and the doctrines of unsaved, rebellious men. But then we go from infiltration and paganization to step three. And that is demonization. Your church becomes demonized. Demons wind up taking over, and now you are flowing. The church service is flowing. The liturgy is flowing. The worship is flowing in doctrines of demons. Doctrines of demons. See, so now you had paganization, doctrines of men, followed by demonization, doctrines of demons. Number four would be contamination. Why? Why contamination? Because paganization and demonization leads to contamination. Remember how Jesus and his apostles from time to time wrestled against unclean spirits? Unclean spirits. Because paganization and demonization leads to men living like animals. And when you live like an animal, when you live like a beast of the field, you do things like animals and you wind up contaminating yourself. So you have infiltration, paganization, demonization, contamination, and then annihilation. That is Satan's five-step plan to destroy the church from within. And you will find that laid out in the book, Jackass Church Bishops. That's what I'm telling you. The book is a classic. It's a classic. And nobody knows yet it's going to be a classic. I can tell you what a classic is. I've been reading classics all of my ministerial adult life, and I can tell you what a classic is. This is a classic. If you have not gotten a copy, you need to do so. Your eyes will be forever opened to what is going on in your church. So that was Jackass Church Bishops. Now we go to Nehushtan Church Bishops. Nehushtan. And what happens in Nehushtan Church Bishops? Well, now that your church has undergone a complete invasion, because that's what infiltration is, it's an invasion. Once your church has gone through that invasion process, once Satan has infiltrated your church via, because that's the carrot that the devil was dangling in order for your bishop to bite, and he bit into it, and he allowed the devil in. The devil paganized the church, demonized the church, contaminated the church. Now, once the devil has infiltrated your church and paganized it and demonized it, guess what happens? The pastor, the bishop, the chief elder of the church is deified. What is deified? Well, the person is turned into a god. And when you look at most of these bishops, they are turned into gods. People view them, you know, I'll give you a perfect example. Many people hear during the week that the bishop is not going to be on church on Sunday. They hear that the bishop, they some way, somehow, they find out that the bishop's not going to be there, and one of his ministerial assistants is going to be doing the preaching. Well, if people get wind that the bishop won't be there, the likelihood is they don't show up to church. Why is that? Because the assistant pastor is not God. The bishop is God. So if the bishop, why go to church if God isn't going to be there? They don't go to church. If the bishop shows up, they show up. You know, most bishops don't even manage the church's prayer meeting if the church has a prayer meeting. That's why people don't go to prayer. Now, God is there. The real God is at the prayer meeting. But since the bishop is not there, since the bishop is AWOL, the people don't show up because in the people's eyes, they no longer think of God as God. They think of the bishop as God. And that's where Nehushtan Bishop comes in, because the likely progression is that your bishop goes from a jackass to a Nehushtan. He is deified. Who deifies him? The people do. The crazy people do. Again, I hate to refer to Eddie Long's memorial service, his celebration of life service. It's really a celebration of a lie service. I hate to refer to it again, but, you know, they told the people, the jackass bishops, and there were several of them, like Eric Garns and Neil Ellis and Dale Bonner and a few others. There were jackass bishops there, and one of them was tasked to go up before the congregation and to tell them, the bishop is looking at you right now. No, the bishop isn't looking at me right now. The bishop is in a casket. The bishop is lifeless. The bishop can't see anything through his dead body, through his dead eyeballs. The bishop can't hear it. But, you know, the bishop is, and the people were clapping. Why? Because Bishop Eddie Long had become a god to those people. He had become a Nehushtan. You see, Nehushtan is another phase. It's when your silly, human, finite bishop is turned into a god. Now, why is that important? Why in the world is that important? Why would Satan want to turn your bishop into a little god? Why would Satan want that? Why would Satan turn your bishop into a little god and have the people worship your bishop? Well, because Satan has somebody waiting in the wings called the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is, when he comes on the scene, the world will worship him, including apostate church folk. And the only way to get apostate church folk worshiping the Antichrist is to turn them apostate, is to get them in the habit of worshiping man. See, church folk never worship man. Years prior, we didn't worship our leaders. We honored our leaders. We respected our leaders. We loved our leaders, but we never worshiped them. Well, today, thanks to the Roman Catholic invasion of the church, thanks to infiltration and paganization and demonization, now we are what? Involved in false adoration. And that's why those running that silly service told the people, he's watching us, the bishop. No, the bishop can't watch anybody. He can't see anything. He can't hear anything. At least not in this world. He's in another world. I suspect he's in Hades. I don't know if he made a last-minute conversion. I don't know if he did like the thief on the cross who accepted Christ and Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. It's highly unlikely, in my opinion. So if he didn't, which I suspect is the case, then right now Mr. Long is in Hades in torment. He's not looking at anybody. He's not worried about anybody. He is suffering. He's looking for some way, some means to get some water into his mouth. You read Luke 19 and see how horrific it is when you are in AIDS. So, my brethren, so, Dan Bishops, is the book that tells us Satan's next step. What is his next step? His next step is to deify church leaders and get people conditioned to worshiping their church leaders, because then Satan will introduce the man of sin. And since church folk have been worshiping their bishop for so long, it's going to be an easy transition for them to shift from worshiping their bishop to worshiping the Antichrist. That's what Nehushtan Bishops is all about. And what a fantastic book it is. It's a fantastic book. It has 16 chapters, 266 pages, 329 footnotes. That's right, saints. 16 chapters long. 16 chapters. 16 chapters. 266 pages. 329 footnotes. And I'm telling you, excuse me, I'm telling you, it is a fantastic read, a marvelous read. You're not going to be able to put it down. You're going to read it. You're going to read it three and four times. It is a mind-blowing read. Did his homework. This guy answers the most difficult questions we have. This guy took his time to explain historically what a Nehushtan is, how it can be found in the Bible, and how we can find it today in the Black Church. Now, what I want to do is I want to end the program here. I want to end it here. I want you to absorb everything that I said. I want you to absorb it. This program is designed to show you how Jackass Church Bishops connects with Nehushtan Church Bishop and how Nehushtan Church Bishop is the logical sequel to Jackass Church Bishops. Now, again, in Jackass Church Bishops, you have infiltration, paganization, demonization, contamination. Right? Okay, you end it there. Then you have annihilation. Now, between contamination and annihilation, you have the book Nehushtan Bishops. You see, because something comes between contamination and annihilation. Something must come there. Something must follow contamination that would lead to annihilation. And that thing which follows contamination and leads to annihilation is elevation. You elevate a man. And when you elevate that man and the church begins to worship a man, that's idolatry. And all those who are involved in idolatry, they are annihilated by God. So you have infiltration, paganization, demonization, contamination. Now, once you get there, you would have, if that's 1, 2, 3, 4, one is infiltration, 2 is paganization, 3 is demonization, 4 is contamination, you would have a 4A. And the 4A would be elevation. And once you elevate a man to the status of God, then you are inviting the wrath of God, and that's when annihilation comes in. So, I would encourage you, I would strongly encourage you, you want to get on the cutting edge revelation, cutting edge truth of what's going on in the church today, get yourself the book Nehushtan Church Bishops. If you didn't read Jackass Church Bishops, get them both. Get both books. And where can you get them? Go to the website, paganbishops.com. Pagan Bishops. And when you go there, you'll see the write-up for Jackass Church Bishops. You'll see the write-up for Nehushtan Church Bishops. And listen, folks, you know, for a donation of $15 for each book, you can't go wrong. You know, how many books have you bought? How many dopey books are being sold in churches that don't do anything but encourage the people to get fleeced. How many books have people bought on wealth transfer? How many books have people bought on sowing and reaping? How many? Think about it. Think about it. And none of those books help the reader, and all they do is that they help the author. Well, here's a book that's going to help you because it's going to open your eyes. You, the next time you walk into your church, you're not going to view things the same if you read both of these books. You will never, ever, ever, ever be the same if you read Jackass Church Bishops and Nehushtan Church Bishops. You'll never be the same, ever. This stuff that this man wrote, Moses, is cutting edge. There's no one in the church today with this, with these kinds of books. Now, there's other great books, mind you. There's other great books on other prophecy subjects. But no one is writing. No one. This guy's got the corner market. There's no one that is touching this subject of the Roman Catholic invasion into the African-American church. Not one person. And this guy's got 12 books on the subject. 12 mind blow. And you ask yourself, how could someone come up with 12 different subjects? I mean, and he hits them all out of the park. Go check out the website. Go and read the write-ups. Go read the write-ups. Go read how many chapters, how many pages, how many footnotes. And folks, you know what sells me on the book? It's not just the subject matter. It's not the tremendous amount of wonderful research that this man has done. And I mean, it just, the book, again, I can't tell you how mind-blowing it is. And then one of the features is the gentleman provides artwork. The artwork allows you to see what he's talking about in words. The artwork is just fabulous. Fabulous artwork. That goes with the book, that goes with the words, that goes with each chapter. But more importantly, backs up everything he says with footnotes. Now, I'm sure you have a Benny Hinn book somewhere in your house. You don't want to admit it, but if you have a Rod Parsley book or a Paula White book or a Benny Hinn book or a Morris Cirillo book or an Oral Roberts book or a book by Larry Huck or a book by Mike Murdoch, I would encourage you to find me one footnote. Show me one proof. Show me one outside source of evidence that what Mike Murdoch or Paula White or Oral Roberts or Morris Cirillo, what they're saying in their books is true. This guy in a 266-page book, think about that. In a 266-page book, provides us with 329 footnotes. And 29. Folks, this is a scholarly work that will not put you to sleep. This is a scholarly work that will keep you at the edge of your seat. It is scholarly, but you're not going to doze off. It is scholarly, but it's not going to bore you to death. No, it is scholarly, and it will keep you at the edge of your seat. Nehushtan Church Bishops, I would encourage you, get yourself a PDF copy. There are no soft cover copies. There's no paperbacks. This book does not come in paperback. It does not come in hardback. The only way you can read it is by ordering a copy and reading it on your tablet. It is an electronic book only. But I would encourage you to get it. Your eternity might depend on it. And I am sure that you are in a Jackass Bishop Church / Nehushtan Bishop Church. I am sure. And if your bishop is a jackass and a Nehushtan, you, my friend, are in trouble. You're in trouble. Well, I said enough today. And you pray my strength. I'm going to go back to bed. I am sick. Don't forget that this Friday, Lord willing, we're going to have with us our precious sister, Sister Marie. I mean, what a fantastic job Sister Marie does week in and week out. She's got so much stuff on the ongoings of the Roman Catholic Church. You don't want to meet. You don't want to miss the Friday broadcast. The Friday broadcast is a call-in broadcast, and we will allow you to call in and share your comments, ask your question, even present your contrary argument if you have one, as long as you behave yourself and you act Christ-like. If you get silly, we disconnect you. So we welcome your calls. We welcome you to participate. That's this Friday. Every Friday, Sister Marie is with us. And that is the highlight of the week, folks, having Sister Marie with me in studio going over the, you know, the current news. And she's a fabulous researcher. She digs things up. I mean, she can just find stuff. Find stuff. Good stuff. I'm talking about good stuff. If she was a gold miner, she would be striking gold. Everything she pulls up in research is a diamond, is a chunk of gold, is a gem. So Fridays with Sister Marie, I'm looking forward to that. And I plan to be back tomorrow to do a part two on this Nehushtan Church Bishop's book that has recently come out. I love you in the Lord. Keep praying for me as I do for you. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow. And don't forget to pray my strength so that I can do the broadcast tomorrow. Love you in Jesus' name.